Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and correct them when you are alone together. If they listen to you, then you have won over your brother or sister. But if they won't listen, take with you one or two others so that every word may be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. But if they still won't pay attention, report it to the church. If they won't pay attention even to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and tax collector. I assure you that whatever you fasten on earth will be fastened in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. Again, I assure you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, then my Father who is in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Early yesterday morning, a man named Rodney Alcala died of natural causes in a hospital. This may not be a name that you're familiar with. It may not be of any particular consequence unless you know that estimates are that he may have killed as many as 130 people in the 1970s. A serial killer known as the dating game killer because he once appeared on the TV show. He was serving a death sentence. He died, again, yesterday, very early yesterday morning. I bring this up. It's interesting that this is the circumstance as we are talking about facing evil and injustice. I believe that evil exists in the world. I don't know from where it comes. I don't know why there is evil in the world. I believe that evil exists. Now, the question we're addressing touches on the question of evil. Particularly, the question is, how do we stand up to evil and injustice? How do we, not only as individuals, but as a community, stand up to evil and injustice? And I want to draw a distinction that this is different from the question, why does God let bad things happen? And the reason I want to draw that distinction is because we're going to deal with that in a couple weeks. We've been in this sermon series on addressing questions of spirituality and faith, many of which come from you all as members of this congregation. So today, I just told you what we'll talk about. Next week, actually, we're going to talk a little bit about the intersection of science and religion. And we'll hear from Pastor Derek next week. And then we'll conclude this series with that question about why does God let bad stuff happen? But today we're looking at our response in the face of evil and injustice. How do we respond? Not only how do we respond to the big things when it comes to mass violence, even when it comes to increasing gun violence, how do we respond to the statistical increase in crimes of hatred against persons of color? The statistical rise in hatred against persons of Asian descent. How do we respond to acts of evil when it comes to someone who goes into a church and sits in a Bible study in a place called Mother Emmanuel before pulling out a firearm and committing horrific acts of violence? These are somewhat large scale. How do we respond on the smaller scale when we see something directly? Even when it's an off-color joke. How do we respond? And what is our aim in our response? What is our goal? Pastor Derek touched on it already. How do we respond when we are faced with evil and injustice? Well, I tell you, when it comes to some of those big things, some of those things that seem to be uncontrollable, how do we respond to serial killers and mass violence and war in countries that are ruled by violent dictators? How do we respond to those things? I confess, I feel somewhat powerless. I don't know how I as an individual can respond to some of those things. I can use my voice. I have the privilege of a microphone, in fact. And I can use my voice to respond to those things, but I can't, you know, always go to those places. I can't always do something tangible in the way that I would want. Thank God for those persons who are gifted to investigate, to follow, to pursue, to negotiate, to practice acts of reconciliation in those circumstances. But I think the question is more unique and more individual. I think it's more personal. How do we respond when we personally and uniquely face these kinds of situations? When we see or understand someone performing some act of physical, emotional, or spiritual violence, what can we do? What must we do? And why are we doing it? Sandy read our text from the Gospel of Matthew, and it gives us a bit of a clue, and I would invite us to consider the text as it's presented to us, not only what's written, but perhaps we might learn a bit from the context. Jesus, when he's just finished telling a parable, says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and correct them when you're alone together. If they listen to you, then you've won over your brother or sister. I'm sure we've all had that situation where someone has said or done something that either we experience as harmful or perhaps we observe as harmful to another person. And we go and we approach that person. We say, listen, you know, the way you said that, I found that hurtful to me. I found it disrespectful. You said something about me that I really wrestled with. Years and years ago, I had a roommate, and we had a situation where there was a disagreement. There was a lot of fear around the situation because it had to do with a little bit of money. Turned out, he blamed me. It turns out it wasn't my fault. I don't say that just because I'm standing in front of you like I had the paperwork. And so I went to him and I said, listen, you were really worried about this. You accused me of this thing. It wasn't true. You also said these really hurtful things to me. And so I want to have a conversation about that. And we had a good conversation about that. The way I understand the text as it's written here, if they listen to you, then you've won over your brother or your sister. Just as Pastor Derek mentioned, the goal is reconciliation. It's to restore that relationship. My story would be incomplete if I didn't confess to you that didn't result in reconciliation. He said to me, well, I still believe those things, harmful things I said about you. That was a hard thing to experience. Because also, as Pastor Derek mentioned, we can pursue that reconciliation. We can pursue that saving of relationship. And we can do that while still maintaining important boundaries. Thank you for that lesson, because that was a hard experience. Jesus says, listen, if that doesn't work out, you might go with one or two others. And this, of course, goes back to Deuteronomy. I tried to use a bigger word, but anyway. Goes back to Deuteronomy and some of the Jewish instruction about, you know, gather a few people, community, witnesses, to witness the conversation, to say, yes, this conversation really happened. Right? And gather two or three witnesses, again, with the aim of reconciliation. But if they still won't pay attention, report it to the church. Now, this one I find a little bit troubling. Like, what would you all do if I said, listen, Pastor Derek and I agree on this thing, disagree on a thing, and we've had an argument about it, and we can't seem to find reconciliation, and we stood up here and had a debate in front of you all. Would you feel as uncomfortable as I would in that? I would feel pretty uncomfortable with that. And so I confess I'm a little on edge about how to manage that. And yet our polity offers a process for exactly this. It's less so in terms of, you know, standing up in front of a congregation in a worship setting. But we have what we might consider a judicial branch in our polity, right? Our judicial council, who addresses some things like this. I have a friend who serves on the judicial council. Well, as you know, the judicial council is denomination-wide, and it's incredibly difficult work. And yet, this is one possibility for us. But I tell you that for a while I was most troubled by the very next line. If they won't pay attention to the church, treat them as you would a Gentile and tax collector. Do you find that frustrating? Because we might read that as, if they don't pay attention, well, we don't like Gentiles and tax collectors anyway, so we must exile them from the community. But that seems so out of character with what the goal seems to be, which is to find reconciliation. You know, I was talking about this with a colleague, and this was years ago. I said, I really wrestled with this part of the text. We were talking about this story. I said, I really wrestled with this. And he asked me one question that really helped a lot. You know what he said? He said, how did Jesus treat Gentiles and tax collectors? Oh, he shared meals with them. He brought Gentiles and tax collectors into community. He found a way of reconciliation anyway. Now, as I said, if we look at the context of this scripture, we might understand that overall the goal is reconciliation. The goal, as we've actually been talking about several Sundays in a row, is community, the household of God. The scripture that takes place just before this text is the parable of the lost sheep. What is the story of the lost sheep about bringing one who is lost back into connection and community? What is it that immediately follows this text? Pastor Derek already told us. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant that starts with Jesus saying, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? No. 70 times 7, or 77 times, depending on how you read the Greek. An uncountable number, right? Or at least high enough that you lose count along the way. It seems to me that the majority of the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew is about seeking reconciliation. And about seeking reconciliation even when it's hard. Think about the times, because I'm sure you've experienced it, when someone has said or done something that hurts you so deeply and personally that maybe you felt like there was no way of reconciliation. My friends, I've already told you the story. I've been there. And I'm still having a hard time. But Pastor Derek also reminds us that seeking reconciliation, seeking the healthiest relationship we can experience with someone while still maintaining good and important and effective boundaries. Because that reconciliation takes both sides of the conversation, doesn't it? How can we pursue reconciliation while still loving ourselves? How can we pursue that reconciliation with love in the same way that we love ourselves? How can we seek community and connection and reconcile with one another? I would suggest that it probably does start with a one-on-one conversation. That sometimes it may include a few others. Perhaps others who have experienced the same frustration or hurt. Perhaps a few others who gather around us to tell us that we have caused hurt. Perhaps it's through a larger system of polity, whether that's a polity in the church or a polity in the courts. Perhaps a polity in a professional organization. And then if none of those work, what are we to do? And I would suggest that this is, while still maintaining important, healthy, and personal boundaries, we are to love anyway. In the same way we love our Gentile friends and our tax collector friends. I don't always know what to do in the face of the big evil things. I rely on God's Spirit with the understanding that I must participate in God's Spirit. Use my voice and the gifts I have, and rely on others to use their voices and the gifts they have, perhaps understanding that it takes a community to stand up to the bigger elements of violence and bigotry and hatred and evil. And when it comes to the personal interactions, perhaps my job is to take personal action and speak up and say something and to not be silent. To include some other voices when that's necessary, and to rely on the wider structures that are available when there's nothing that I can do. And even then, to love. To love, to love, to love. What does that look like? I remember the emotional video of a woman who had lost family members in the Mother Emmanuel Church. When the person accused of the crime was walked into the courtroom, and she, through tears, said, "I forgive you." Do you remember that moment? That's what love looks like. As we consider how to respond to these difficult circumstances, I submit that these few simple words remain insufficient. And yet I have faith, confidence, and hope in God's moving work within us to take us that last final step to reconciliation, to healing, and to love. May God sustain us and empower us so that we might express that forgiveness and love. Amen.
Amen. It's now time for our response to the word that has been preached today. Normally, after a sermon, after we've heard a message, we want to have a takeaway, an application, so that we can put what we've learned to action, so that we don't forget. As Bishop Grant Haggia mentions in his book, Spiritual Kaizen, faith should be a verb. So we need to act out our faith. And like our physical muscles, our spiritual muscles need to be exercised regularly so we can get stronger in our faith. So therefore, my invitation for you this week is to put something that you've learned today into practice. I invite you to do one thing this week, just one thing that you think will help you respond to God's invitation today. Commit to it and invite the Holy Spirit to lead you. Now, it might be hard and it might cost you to suffer, but as Christians, we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not shame us. As that was written in Romans chapter 5, so through all these things we'll be transformed into the image and likeness of God every day as we try to do so.